I write over the book of Judges, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's Proverbs 14:34. You have in the book of Judges a philosophy of history, and a philosophy of history which has been followed down through the centuries. Isaiah comes to it also, and we're going to see it in this book as we get into it. Now, this book, apparently, the book of Judges, it records a period between Joshua and also the first king that came on the scene, which was Saul. And it was a period in which judges ruled. And you have here this particular period that's given to us. And the reason I say that this was written in that period is because I think about four times here in the book of Judges, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Evidently, it comes from the time when there was a king, and it looks back to the time when there was no king in the land. I think that is obvious there. And I believe that the verse that we'll have to refer to more than any others, the last verse in the book of Judges, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did his own thing in that day. And it wasn't good, friends. The book of Judges is a book that will give to us a philosophy of history. I think that is one of the great purposes of the book. And we'll see that as we get into it. We have, for instance, I think a twofold purpose that the book serves. First of all, as to the historical purpose, it records the history of the nation Israel from the death of Joshua to Samuel, the last of the judges, and he, of course, was the first of the prophets. And it bridges the gap between Joshua and the rise of the monarchy under Saul. There was no leader to take Joshua's place, actually, in the way that Joshua had taken Moses' place. And this was the trial period of the theocracy after they entered the land. Now, the second, I think, purpose is a moral purpose. It is the time of the deep declension of the people as they turn from the unseen leader and descended to the low level of, well, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's the last verse that you find in this book. And we find how different it is from the first verse that opens this book. And I'll read the first verse. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? They turned to the Lord at the death of Joshua, but that didn't last long. And you find them, by the time you come to the end of the book, they have gone to the very low plane of every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Every man was doing his own thing. And friends, when that comes about, well, look around you today and you'll see what I mean. Why are we in such a low level as far as morality is concerned today? Well, because every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes, and there's no lofty purpose or lofty goal in view. Now, this actually should have been a period of glowing progress and success, but it was a dark day, actually, of repeated failure. You see, the children of Israel entered the land of promise with high hopes and exuberant expectation. And you'd expect these people who were delivered out of Egypt, led through the wilderness, and brought into the land with such demonstration of God's power and direction to attain a high level of living and victory in the land. But such was not the case. They failed ignobly and suffered miserable defeat after defeat. And we'll see here a philosophy of history. And you'll find that, and I think I should turn to that now. In the second chapter, at verse 11, here is their story. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam.